Let's come before God now in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord our God, your word is perfect, converting the soul. Your testimonies make wise of those who are simple. Your word is to be desired more than gold, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by your word, your servants are warned and instructed. And so bless us now as we read and meditate on your word. Keep us by it, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to bless us with that passage that we're looking at. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're up to Lord's Day 39. So first of all, we'll read that, and you'll find that on page 52 at the back of the Psalter hymnal, Lord's Day 39. We're up to the fifth commandment, which tells us that we are to honor our father and our mother. And here we have the explanation for that. Lord's Day 39, found on page 52. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, and I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings. For through them, God chooses to rule us. As we see the theme worked out from that particular Lord's Day, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 35. So please turn there now, Jeremiah 35. We'll read the entire chapter, and this will be our focus for this afternoon as we look at the obedient Rechabites and what we can learn from them. You'll find that on page 915 of your Pew Bible. Jeremiah chapter 35, and we'll read from verse 1 down to the end of the chapter. Hear now God's holy and inspired word. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink." Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, "Drink wine." But they said, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners.' Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, 'Come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians.' So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for to this day they drink none, and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandments of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. And I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open before you this afternoon to Jeremiah 35, as we'll be looking at that text in relation to the fifth commandment and Lord's Day 39. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, few things are more frustrating to a parent than children who won't listen. We may find ourselves sometimes telling our children to look us in the eye as we're talking to them. We're trying to communicate something to them. We want them to understand what we're saying. We want them to be reached by our words. That's often how the Lord deals with us, his own people. We're his children. He gives us commands. He warns us, he rebukes us, but we don't always listen. And so he teaches us, he warns us, he rebukes us again. Sometimes his people still don't pay attention. However, every son or daughter of God has to be a good listener. God wants us to be that way as his children, as he says to us, listen to my word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow the conviction that you receive from him for your sins and repent and believe. But don't just be a hearer of the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But the thing is, we don't naturally obey God. We by nature are rebellious, and we need to have a new heart. Well, this afternoon we want to consider an amazing example of a group of people who sought to live by the fifth commandment. And we want to see how the Lord blessed them for this. These were the Rechabites, the people who descended from Rechab, the father of Jonadab, a godly man in Scripture. The purpose of this prophecy is to put the people of Judah to shame for their disobedience to God. Here was a family, the Rechabites, who sought to follow the commands of their father, who died nearly three centuries before them. And so consider this passage of Scripture today from Jeremiah 35 under the theme, the Promise Keepers, what we learn from the Rechabites, and with 3 points. First of all, we see their extraordinary submission. Secondly, their excellent hearing. And then thirdly, their enduring reward. Well, first of all, their extraordinary submission. I don't know if you've read this chapter or not. Perhaps this is the first time you've ever come across this particular portion of God's Word. And perhaps as you read this today, you were thinking to yourself, why would Jeremiah have to do what God commanded? We saw that in verses 1 and 2. He was to go to the house of the Rechabites, as it says there in verse 2, speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Why did he have to do that? Why not come to the temple and pray with them? After all, these were very sad times. This was a very unfortunate time in the history of Israel, as many of the Jews were rebellious. So why didn't they just go into the temple and pray? It's an unusual request. There were many things that Jeremiah had to do which seemed strange, just as the other prophets had to do, and they often did that to get the attention of God's people, doing these unusual things as sort of illustrations to the Jews. As Michael Card, the Christian singer, has put it when describing the prophets in one of his songs, he says, "I scream and cry and wonder why you never seem to learn." But Jeremiah, we read, obeyed the Lord. As strange as this command was, he brought Jezaniah, the head of the family, and these other men and the entire family unit into the house of the Lord, right into the chamber of the sons of Hanan. This was a well-known place in the temple, and the reason they did this is so that this wouldn't be taking place in just a remote corner of the temple. Everyone would know what was taking place. And there were other people there. There were keepers of the door there. There were well-known men there, guardians of the temple. We read that Jeremiah, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse 5 says, notice those words again, "Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine." But when the wine was offered, what did they do? Well, we read that they refused. They could not drink wine. They would not do it. Why not? Well, as we look carefully at what is being stated here, verse 6 tells us, they said, "Our father has given us a command." Well, it might seem strange that Jeremiah was given this special command of the Lord to bring these people in the temple and to tell them to drink wine. This is probably the strangest part of the chapter. They wouldn't drink that wine which is given to them. Jonadab, their father, had given them a special command regarding this. And you note that there were actually a total of four different commands. Jonadab not only prevented them from drinking wine, verse 7 also states, "You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents." Now we might say, what is wrong with all of these things? We can understand his concern, perhaps for wine, because there are different warnings that we see in Scripture that tell us to be careful about how much of it we drink. It was not so uncommon for Nazarites at that time to take vows of not drinking wine. And so we could understand that this has some meaning behind it. But what's wrong with houses? What's wrong with making a living through farming? What's wrong with having vineyards? I mean, these are perfectly fine things. It may seem very strict to us that they were given these kinds of laws. And sometimes we may wonder about the strict guidelines when rules are put into place in our own lives. Sometimes we question them. They seem to be unnecessarily constraining. For example, a young lady might say to her mom, "You know, why can't I wear that blouse? What's wrong with it?" And there may be a very good reason for a mother or father to lay down the law regarding an article of clothing. Perhaps they're concerned about, you know, the way it looks, modesty being a concern. They might be concerned about the future. Perhaps a young man may ask his parents a question, you know, why can't I listen to that style of music? Doesn't make sense. And they ask their parents why. And a concerned parent may have a very good reason for you not to get caught up in that type of music. Or we may have had it that while we're driving on the road in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden it goes from 90 to 50. And we think, you know, what in the world is going on here? Why do we have to slow down? But we might not know that, you know, there's a blind corner there, or there's a cow crossing that's taking place there once in a while. And it's a rule there for someone's safety. Some things may not be always clear to us, but here we see a family following the footsteps of their father who gave them these rules, rules that were not condemned by Scripture, but laws that he had laid down for them in order to guide them. Now this, of course, goes back into history. The Rechabites were actually a family that originated with Jethro, who was, as you may remember, Moses' father-in-law. They were foreigners, not Israelites. They belonged to the Kenites, a group of families that accompanied the Israelites into Canaan, and they dwelt among them. Many of them dwelt in cities and took up residence there. But not all of them did. Not all of them had an inheritance. Some of them were nomads. They had no definite set place of living. Jonadab, who we read about in 2 Kings chapter 10, lived during the reign of King Jehu. Jonadab was a God-fearing man. He was well-respected at the time. He was the one who stopped his family from living in cities and drinking wine and so forth. It's very possible, as Calvin suggests, that Jonadab foresaw what was happening in Judah. He knew that the Jews were despising God's law. And they thought, you know, they could get away with that. It didn't really matter. They were living it up in the land. God said that they would be cursed if they followed idols, and if they continue to live in sin. And so Jonadab, he wasn't condemning agriculture. He wasn't saying it was wrong to live in a house. He wasn't condemning wine necessarily. He saw the complacency of the Jews. He saw how they were living, how they were serving idols, pretending like it didn't matter. And he knew that something bad was going to happen. And so he said, live this way. Don't be attached to these things. Note especially the end of verse 7. Why did they obey their father? Because he said to them that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. It's very similar to what the fifth commandment says. Honor your father and mother. Why? That you may live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You see, though there may have been no explicit command from Scripture that was given to them, they followed their father's wishes because that's what God's word says. Honor your father and your mother. They were seeking to obey their father because the Lord was pleased with this. Now, of course, this is not endorsing parents or elders or anyone else setting down rules that are going to bind the consciences of others. This is not teaching us, you know, temperance. This is not saying to us, you know, drinking alcohol is wrong. No, the Bible does clearly say to us that we have that freedom. If God were against it, he would not have brought all this wine, these bowlfuls of wine, into the temple. That's not the point. That's why everything that we command our children must be cloaked in the wisdom of Scripture. In fact, if anything, we should be warning against the abuses of alcohol, as the Word of God says. Warning against drunkenness. Talking about the evil of that and how the Word of God condemns this. Because God gives us plenty of warnings about that. We have to be wise in our daily orderings. Laws and rules must be in accordance to Scripture. Fathers are not to frustrate their children, Ephesians 6 verse 4 says. Instead, they're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. But what is commended here in this text is the remarkable submission of this family. They followed their father's command simply because they sought to honor their father. And here we see that this family followed their father's directives. Verses 8 to 10 tell us that they did everything that he had said. Their wives, their daughters, everyone. They didn't build houses. They didn't build vineyards. They dwelt in tents. And of course, that doesn't mean that they were idle in any way. They were shepherds. They had to make their living, but they did everything that their father had done, had told them to. Note that in verse 8, we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, our father, in all that he has charged us. Now, that doesn't mean they did everything perfectly. Nobody can. There's only one person who can be obedient perfectly, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of what Jesus said about his relationship with his own father. He said, "My food is to do the will of who? Of him who sent me." He was sent to pay the price. And he makes it possible for us to live in his grace, to follow the fifth commandment. But when we do honor our parents and submit to their guidance, there is a blessing here. And in this case, it turned out to be for their good, because according to verse 11, they were spared of trouble when Nebuchadnezzar came and the Chaldeans, as well as the Assyrian army. We read there that they left where they were living and went to Jerusalem. They were spared judgment. God's providence, as harm had come to their fellow countrymen, the Lord had been good and let them go free. And that's the same emphasis of Lord's Day 39, where it asks that question, what is God's will for us? In the fifth commandment, the Lord calls us to show all honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper. You have to obey them, even when it's sometimes hard to understand everything that they say. We see here that a godly man like Jonadab had an ulterior motive. He wasn't against houses and fields and all that, but he wanted things to go well with them in the land. That's to be our goal as parents as well. Children and young people, do you obey your parents? Young people, do you follow your parents' advice and guidance, even when it is hard, or when they may not always be clear to you why they have given you a certain guideline? You're to honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible says it plainly. And that is reason enough to honor them. And parents, you're called to guide your families in the truth and to seek to do everything by the word and with wisdom. Not to be abusive, not to set down rules that are outside of Scripture. You're to use your authority to fulfill God's assignment to you, to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord, as the Word of God says. And that brings that protection that the Bible speaks of. As fathers and mothers bring blessing to a home when they seek to raise their families in that way. But that leads us to our second point. Not only do we see their remarkable submission, we see, secondly, their excellent hearing. And basically what this whole passage is about is God setting these people as an example to the Jews who were not living in obedience to God. Notice again what he says, what God says there in verse 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord. The word instruction there actually means correction. Clearly the Lord had already corrected his people. They had heard his correction time and again. God said, look at how these Rechabites obey the command of their father by not drinking wine. That was a hard and fast rule. I haven't made that kind of a rule for you, and yet you're not even listening to me. But what did God expect of his own children? Only that they would receive his law and not go astray after idols. And he says the Rechabites have drunk no wine to this day. Why? Because they obeyed. And he adds at the end of verse 14, and although I have spoken to you rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. In other words, Jonadab just had to give one command. He just had to say it once. And his children followed. Not so with the Lord. Because they didn't hear, because they didn't listen to the Lord, he would bring on them the covenant curses that the Scripture speaks about. And that's a warning that he brings to them. They did not turn from their gods. They didn't listen. And therefore, because they turned from the Lord, the Rechabites' example of obedience became an object lesson. It's the same for us. The Lord has given us the fifth commandment as a hedge for us. Actually, the entire law is given for our protection. We could compare it to a 10-story building. The first four floors are foundation for the last six, just like the first four commandments Ten Commandments are like a foundation for the last six. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what the Rechabites did, and they were blessed for that. In the same way, if we obey the Lord, then we can expect a blessing from him. But God was using these Rechabites to put the Jews to shame. Just as they obeyed their descendants, so the Lord was saying, you have to honor me. You must show me deference by obeying my commands and loving me. And the implications are the same for us. God has given us his word today, specifically this commandment to honor our father and mother, not to make our lives hard, not to make our lives difficult. He's given it to make our homes a light and an example in this dark world that we're in. We should not have to be reminded and corrected over and over again to obey and serve him. It should be enough for us to know that this is true and to obey it. Children, it's the same for you. If your mom and dad tell you to do something or they tell you not to do something, then you should listen to that. You're called to this. Or if your friends, children, if your friends are trying to get you to do something that is not according to God's way, you shouldn't just follow it. You should say, no, I've been told by my parents not to live in this way. That's God's protection. For the Word of God says this, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right, Ephesians 6 says. God calls you to honor your father and mother. That's what the Rechabites did, and they were commended for it. Is that what we do today? Is that what you do today? Do you honor those over you? Do you do this too in your home, in your working situation? in church, in society. Some of you may have seen that old RCA emblem. It's a picture of a dog sitting next to an old record player, and his ears are cocked towards the speaker. And the slogan below it says, "His master's voice." In other words, the idea is that the record player is so clear in its recording that he hears his master's voice as it speaks, as it goes. And that should be also a picture of us. We should hear the word of God. We should listen to God's voice and have excellent hearing. Well, that leads us to the third point, their enduring reward. Verses 19 and 20, the closing of this chapter, tell us this. In order that the Jews would take this to heart, the Lord also speaks directly to the line of Jonadab. He promises an enduring reward to them. And here the specific word of the Lord to the Rechabites in verse 19 is, "Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." What that means is that they would always have offspring that would stand before the Lord's eternal face. And we know that to be true from history. We read the book of Nehemiah, where there was the rebuilding of the walls. We read that one of the descendants was from Jonadab. So God kept his word. We must remember to uphold these words. Children must honor their parents by obeying them. Even when we're older and we have grandparents and great-grandparents who are still with us, the command endures. A society will either rise or fall based on how closely we stick to these words of honoring our parents. Some of us may remember the old TV shows like Leave It to Beaver or The Waltons, shows that still had a clear message about the family and to some extent about honoring parents. Those good old shows portrayed good old values. But honoring your parents in and of itself, that's not going to save you. Our society is not going to get better merely living by the law itself, because none of us here is able to fulfill the fifth commandment perfectly. We break this commandment all the time. And it leads us again to the son who obeyed his father perfectly. Again, I remind you of the perfect obedience of Jesus, as he was the one who was sent to pay the price. He died for those who have broken God's law. And not only did he pay for those sins, he gives us new life so that we're able to follow the commandments. Sometimes it may not always be easy to do this. It goes against the grain. But we must do it because it is right. And it pleases the Lord to govern us by those in authority over us. Sometimes certain things may not make sense to us. They seem to be unnecessarily constraining. Young people, if you don't understand why there are certain rules, ask your parents. Ask them respectfully, not disrespectfully. Ask them respectfully. And they may give you a biblical reason. They may have a certain guideline that they want you to follow. But then again, they may have to say to you, "Son, I'm not exactly sure how to answer your question. I don't have a verse on hand here. I'd have to think a little bit more about that. I can't turn to a certain portion of Scripture for you, but I think it is the better part of wisdom that you avoid this or that, that you don't do that." And if that's what they say, then listen to their advice. Follow their wisdom, because that's why the Lord has placed them there. This is why he has given you Christian parents to help you and to guide you. And when you're tested in your obedience, or when your own rebellious heart rises within you, remember to turn from that rebelliousness by remembering the promise that it will be well with you on the earth. And when you fail to honor your parents, know that there is forgiveness in the Lord. You can be restored. And by His power, you can show that love, honor, and fidelity to your parents. You can do that when you repent and put your faith in the Lord. But may the Lord help us to do these things. For when we do them, the Lord will bless us. That's what He has promised. May we take Him at His own word once again on this day. Amen.